Hey, Wes Wyatt, what's up, brother?
Oh, man, how are you doing today, Randy?
You know, I was thinking about spectacular, but that's not a good enough word. I kind of go with, I said the other day to a girl at the checkout lane at the Publix store. It's one of our big grocery chains here in the South. And she says, how are you today? And I said, I'm perfect. And she looks at me and says, I'll get better. Don't worry. Yeah. So, you know, but it is, you know, when you love what you do and do what you love, it's every day seems perfect, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. I mean, every day that the Lord gives me my beloved oxygen habit, I'm happy.
You do have a habit for oxygen. I've noticed that.
I do. I got to have it.
Got to have it. It's one of those things. So, you know, we've been on a mission of chatting with some amazing people over this, always since we started this, what, a good 2+ years ago. But it doesn't, you know, at some point it's like you would think everybody had enough of certain things, but it's like every time there possibly can't be a lot more guests, right? And they just keep coming.
You wouldn't think so, but I got to tell you, it's like the Godfather, Randy. Every time that we think we're done, they pull us back in.
Does that mean I'm going to find a horse head in my bed tonight?
I hope not.
The show? That's the show, right?
That's the right one,
I don't want a horse head in my bed. But
nor do I.
Well, that would be better than a snake because I really hate snakes. So I put little kids in front of me and 8-inch garter snakes, just so you know.
You're a lot more likely to find a snake in your bed than a horse head there in Florida.
This is true. I have a habit, and then we'll get going here. But I have a habit when we open the front door to Dixie. She likes to put back in a little box these chips. You know, the little small bags of chips.
Sure.
For the UPS and FedEx people. She starts it at Christmas, and then they're always so happy. You know, they're waving the ring. Hey, thank you. You know, so she keeps doing it. But she gets in a fight with this bird that continually wants to get in and take them away. So she's nonstop battling. But my point of all that is when we open the front door, I always peek through the blinds like this a little bit, you know, first, because there's been known to be bears, gators, snakes. Not here. I've never run across it, but I don't want to either. So today, let me ask you, this is a little longer segue, but we're getting there with Ian right away. Would you say that if you were sort of a pretty good sales guy over the years for a company like Apple, that you're pretty good, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So what if I was to tell you that our friend Ian was the number one top salesman in the world for Apple? He was named that back in 1990. I got my notes here someplace, but that would almost be wow, wouldn't it not?
That would be a wow. That's almost Mickey Rooney-ish, you know. Mickey,
it is.
I was the number one actor in the world. Get it, the world.
Yeah. you have a new calling. It's over. I need a new director because Wes is leaving me. I can see it now.
That's Dana Carvey. I'm just making fun of him.
Yeah, I know, but I knew what you meant. It's still funny though. Oh, well, good. Well, unless you got something else, let's go get our friend. And he truly has become a friend in a short period of time. Ian Selby, what do you think? You want to do that?
I think that's a great idea.
Let's do it. All right, I'll wait here.
All right.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Ian, my friend, what's up?
I'm doing great. You can call me Mickey. You can just call me Mickey.
I'm going to call you Mickey. I like Mickey. Oh, man. Sometimes I have too much fun, I think, but then now there's no such thing.
No such thing as too much fun.
There is not. And Well, welcome and thank you for being on.
Thank you, Randy. It's a real honor for having me on. I greatly appreciate it, and I appreciate all the great work you're doing. So keep it up, brother, for sure.
Oh, well, thank you. That means a lot because you might not overly admit it, but you're a stud out there in the world of sales. And so any kind words, I mean, if I owe you a 20 or something, I mean, I'll send it. If you want to throw a couple of other nice things, I'm always open. We had such a great conversation on your podcast not too long ago. I knew I had to get you on to chat about sales. This is my favorite subject. So, maybe outside of Michigan football, but they lost in the playoffs, so I'm not talking about them for a while. So they're on hold. I'm sure Jim Harbaugh is quite concerned about that too. But
yeah, they're on hold. Well, we have the sales passion in common, my friend.
We do. So you're in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, at this very moment.
The West Coast, or some of us call it the Wet Coast at this time of year, which if you don't own an umbrella in Vancouver, you're not going outside, because in the winter we get more rain than we get snow. But Vancouver, lovely city, lovely spot in the summer for sure.
Oh, exactly. I'm sure. Never been there, but now I know somebody there. I know a reason to come.
Exactly. Yeah.
I bet you know a portside watering hole somewhere in town we could find.
There might be one or two.
No, I'll bet that. We'll find one or two in the first hour and go from there. Absolutely. Then we'll recointer or whatever that is. I don't even know if that's the right word, but I like to say it. So my wife has an issue with me. She's a former English major, and she has a real issue with the fact that she hates the fact that I make up words. But I said, it's me talking, it's my words, and so just go with it, right?
I do the same thing. When I'm writing an email, if I have a problem trying to spell the word, I just find a new word. Exactly. I can spell that one. So
exactly.
Struggle, you know, wrestling with text when you can just pick a new word.
Exactly. And I sometimes have to hit the voice to text just to say the word so to find it, because I can't spell it good enough that spell check will find it. Then
so
I go,
proving you're a hybrid warrior.
That's
know
it.
Gadgets and how to make them all work. Well,
I do it all while juggling donuts. I mean, it's amazing. Oh, man. So tell us a little bit about who in the world is Ian Selby.
Well, I was actually born in Scotland, so I'm actually a Scotsman. I can put on the accent at will, like if you need it, like
that. Yeah, let's do a little bit of the Scottish, Ian, the Scottish. And then we'll go back to the British.
Well, I open up some of my keynotes this way.
Oh, do you?
Absolutely. You know, like, fight and you may die, run and you may live, at least for a while. But dying in your beds many years from now, would you not be willing to tell your enemy, they can take my lives, but they'll never take our freedom, Scotland the brave.
Oh, man. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, great movie, as Wes says. That's awesome. I bet that's an attention getter.
A little bit. That's when they're still not sure if I'm on stage, and so I break into that, and what's going on? Okay, let's shut up now, right? It's a good one.
Yes, it's time. Maybe I should get my chair, shut my phone off now. Oh, that's awesome. So you've delivered some of your proven methodology to 17, 18, 20, I mean, thousands of people worldwide, and not just to Ding and Ling sitting on the corner pub. I mean, we're talking CEOs and high energy, high level professionals, right? So tell me about that whole thing.
Well, it's interesting. And you referenced Apple. It was a real honor. I met Steve Jobs, still have my picture taken with them years later when I started to write some books. I thought, there's an idea. Finally, a place I could put the picture of Steve and I.
There you go.
I knew there was a reason. I didn't know why. Yeah. Had a great run at Apple, as you said, won a very big award in 1990, which is really a team award. There's a whole host of people that helped to pull that one off. So kudos to them, and thanks to them always. But after 10 years at Apple, I thought, I'm sick of renting my resume to the highest bidder. I want to actually, you know, get in the lane where I want to be. I love selling. I love presenting. I love coaching and leaving something or somebody better than how I found them. So I was like, why don't I do that for a living? So I started a business and did exactly that. And so I call it picking your lane, Randy. So early on in our careers, if we can pick the right lane, you'll not only be really good at it, you'll want to do it a long time. So over 25 years later, I'm still doing what I set out to do after I left Apple so many years ago. And I still love what I'm doing. It's still my passion. I don't go crazy like I used to doing 22-day world tours, you know, come home to change laundry and go out again. I'm a little more balanced and structured with my time and energy, and a little more picky about who I like to work with as well. I've got a handful of CEOs that I love and trust, and we go back 20 odd years together in various capacities. So I'm happy doing that. I feel blessed that I've been given the skills and drive that I've got, and I get to share it with the sales world at large. So it's certainly living my passion.
That's awesome. You know, and isn't life just a great adventure when you love what you do and do what you love, right? It's
It absolutely is. And when you do love it, you'll want to do it. It's not even a job. It's like, right. I can't wait to wake up and do it again tomorrow. And again and again. And it just feels like it was meant for you. It's like a movie that was written and you're the lead actor in it. Don't mm-hmm. be a supporting actor in your movie. Be the lead actor in your movie.
Exactly. I love that. I love that statement. And you know, a lot of times I'll say stuff to people like, God, I love Mondays. And they all look at you like, no, you don't. You're lying. I go, but I do love Mondays. That doesn't mean I don't love my Sundays and my Saturdays and the balance to do some stuff. But I don't look at Mondays as, oh, crap, it's Monday. I look at Mondays as, let's get up early. Let's get at it. And because, again, we love what we do, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Randy. 100%.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. So tell me a little bit about, wrote a book. Or a couple books, right? And the one that really is interesting to me, I love the cover and I love the title more than anything. If you were arrested for selling, would there be enough evidence to
convict you?
Convict. Can't read my own writing. To convict you. Yeah. See, I can't write, I can't spell, and I can't read, and sometimes I can't talk, and I use wrong words. But outside of that, I'm an outstanding writer and a great show host. But... I mean, I love the cover. I love the title. We'll go on to some other things, but I don't want to run out of time and forget to talk about this because I think it's a cool book and it's available through your website. But the title tells it all, right? I mean, are you in the game or are you not in the game, right?
Well, what I used to do, when the book came along, I started the business in 95, wrote a 2-day course, figured out that training by itself doesn't get it done. We're looking to do behavioral change, not another binder for your shelf. Mm-hmm. So I added coaching to that. And I said, I better get out and do some speaking as well for the brand. And that's a great way to prospect. Back in the days of doing seminars where you'd have an executive breakfast and have 30 people in the room. And some of them are going to be new clients. So it was always, I thought, you know, to be a better speaker, I should write a book. So I used to ask questions to CEOs. This is where the title of the book came from. Mm-hmm. I used to say, if your sales force were arrested for selling, would there be enough evidence to convict them? And then I'd be quiet. I mean, they'd always say, two of them would be serving life. I wish I could clone them. I wish they had brothers and sisters. I'd hire them too. Mm-hmm. The rest, I'd like to fire them and start over. And that's my cue to say, I might be able to help you with that. Right. Nice. So that's where I used the book, the title of the book. And then I thought, well, you know, let's personalize it and make it if you were arrested because it's a book. So that's where the title came from. And what it is, it's really my philosophy. It's got a lot of my methodology, the sales process that I preach and coach and work with. So it's a great primer. Quite often when I'm invited in to do training, you know, 20, 30 people in a room somewhere. I send everyone a copy of the book first as a primer. So it wets the whistle. It gets them thinking about things. And when I get there, it's not a foreign language exercise. I won't be speaking Scottish for long.
Perfect. So, because I know I can do, you already told me I could, but I know I can do this because I don't think I can put Ian on the spot here. Without going too deep into things, anywhere you don't want to go, if I'm a young guy wanting to get into sales, which I'm not young or just wanting to get into sales, but if I was, what do I need to do to be a good salesman? What's it take? That's a very open-end question, but the Ian Selby version, what's it take for me to become a good salesman? A great salesman.
I've got a 2-day course that teaches the how, but in 4 statements, I'll give you the what.
Okay.
All right. So if salespeople, young, old, new, brand new, net new, however you would describe it, want to improve their sales game, do these 4 things and do them consistently. So the word consistent is pretty important in all this as well. The first one is call high. And what I mean by that is call on decision makers first. Don't get trapped in influencer jail because they love swag. They love free lunches. They love all those things. But all they can say is no. They are unable. They're unable to say yes. They don't have the autonomy to say yes. So call high first. Doesn't mean you stay up there, but now you got corporate gravity and can leverage your way through the organization. Call on the decision maker first. Is it harder to get those meetings? Is it harder to identify who they are? Yes. And that's what makes great versus okay. when in the world of selling. So call high first, because guess what? They'll give you a yes. And your second best thing is a quick no. The worst thing we can get in sales is that slow no, that eventual maybe. And that comes from calling too low. So call high. Number two, and this is where for salespeople that have been doing it for a while, it's hard for them to unlearn some things. So number two is find the pain. Find out what their business pain is. So this requires us not thinking like a commission-breathing salesperson. We have to think on the customer side of the desk. What are they trying to accomplish? What are they trying to do with their business? How could I add value to that process? So find the pain. That's the second one. The third one is then bring the game. And the game can come in different forms. So one of the games could be maybe we have some solutions that would address some of their pain. It's wrong of us to ever think everything we've got will fix everything they need.
Right.
That's not true. But identify the components or the elements of the business pain that our gain, our products, our services can address. And don't stop there. I call this the outer ring. This is how you expand value. Value has an equation. V equals D minus C. I've asked thousands of salespeople, how many of you want to increase the value you give your customers? They all say yes. There's two ways to do it. One is take the same benefit and charge less for it. Reduce the C makes the B bigger, and then it makes the V bigger. So that's called discounting, but not always the right strategy.
Right.
Because that ends up being a race to the bottom, a race you don't want to win.
Right.
The other way to increase your value is the only way to do it is to understand what value would mean to them. Value, like the word beauty or the word success, is in the eye of the beholder. So what is the business pain of that customer? How can you add value to that and make your B bigger? It might be introduction to someone you know or another customer you have that gone through the same business challenges. Perhaps it's introducing them to some talent they need to join their company. It could be anything depending on whatever their business pain is. So let me summarize before I give you the first one. Call high, find the pain, bring the gain, and then number four, do it again and again. So follow up, be professional. Account management is not an accident. It needs to be intentional. You have to conduct and schedule and drive your own account reviews with existing customers. So that's why I say again and again and consistent. Sure. Do we need to be confident? Yes. Not overconfident. We don't ever want to end up in that other category of overconfident, cocky, arrogant. We don't want to go down that road, but confident. Be persistent. Never take, you know, you could lose the game, win the series. You could lose the series and win it all next year, like your football team.
Right.
So be persistent. There's always another. The great thing about sales is there's a new game for you every day.
Exactly.
So you get persistence and passion and go play a game you can win. Right. So those are some ideas for you. I think it's important for salespeople to also be organized. Like sabotage yourself into being on purpose, intentional. One of your best friends is something called an opportunity pipeline. I live and breathe by it, and I've been teaching it for over 25 years. It is your best friend in the world of selling. There's some ideas.
Oh, that's amazing. And you have the sell high is so brilliant because you're 100% right. A lot of sales guys, and it's easy to fall into that trap of coming in through the back door, so to speak, right? I'll get this guy on my side and then he'll work it up the chain. But you're right. They'll work it up the chain as long as you take them to lunch and golf and, you know, fishing or giving them swag, right? But you're right. At the end of the day, and it's a great point, they have no ability to say yes.
Right.
I love the other point you made is, and a lot of young sales guys especially really lose their mind and their confidence when they hear that dreaded two-letter word, no, right? No is, in a sense, not a bad word, right? Because if it's going to be no, it's going to be no. Right.
Yes is our favorite word. And we've all gotten a yes and shook hands, put the contract in our case, got into the elevator. No one was on it. Press lobby, gave ourselves
exactly.
Yes. We walked out of the elevator. We're happy. Yes is a great word. Let's not
Right.
Forget that. But the second best word in the world of selling is a quick no.
Exactly.
The worst word is a slow no.
A slow no, exactly.
Your time that you could spend elsewhere to get another yes. So when someone gives me a quick no, it's like that Rod Stewart song, "Set Me Free, Why Don't You Pay?"
Well, you're right. And you what you just did with the elevator, I've been known in my car, because I spend a lot of time on planes, but then I'm driving, whether it's a rental car or whatever I'm doing. And I've been known to keep We Are the Champion keyed up on a phone. So, you know, the second you get a deal, you know, and you get in a car, just get out of view so they're maybe not seeing you in the office. And I love to hit that loud as possible and just bang the steering wheel and get cranked up, because, man, that's what it's all about, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, when a great tip for young salespeople as well, when you've won a deal and you've listened to We Are the Champions with Randy, you can call him up and he'd be happy to talk to you or me. That's great. The best thing to do after you've just won a deal is go make 3 cold calls.
Exactly.
You are just booming with confidence. I don't mean arrogance. Yes. I mean confidence. You might make a call that you maybe been putting off because you're a little shy to make it or uncomfortable, uncertain. If you've done your homework, you've done your pre-work, you've looked them up online, you know who they are, that you know their pain, they deserve to hear from you.
Right.
So you just want a deal, make 3 before you go home.
I love that, because, you know, you're right. It's on two sides there. One, you're in your best position now because you are cranked up, fired up, fully confident, ready to go. And doesn't that new customer that may not even know he needs you yet deserve your best?
Absolutely.
And you're bringing the best you have right then, as opposed to you just had 3 no's in a row and 2 people told you to get out of my office and never come back again. I hate your hair. Well, that's probably not the best time to make that cold call, right? Because you're dragging yourself in going, you may not say it, but your demeanor will be, yeah, I'm sure you're going to say no too, because I really do suck. And right. That's, and you get exactly what
you're right.
Present.
The mindset, right? Like
always.
When you're playing golf and you got to hit a 200 yarder over a bunch of water, a lot of us say, don't go in the water, don't go in the water.
Right.
And then we hit the ball, we go in the water.
Exactly.
Instead of going, I got to land about 220, a little draw, curl it over there. And then you've got it, because your mindset's winning instead of already getting ready to lose. I agree.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and all guys and girls, a lot of women too. I don't want to be sexist when I say that statement, but love sports, right? And we always take all these great analogies from sports, but I use Tom Brady because he just announced his retirement again. I don't know if this one I kind of suspect is real, but either way, but you don't take somebody as highly trained and as highly talented as him and come off the sideline and he got a no, and his no was he just threw an interception. Now, he may toss his helmet, look at the iPad to figure out what wrong, yell at his receiver for turning the wrong, whatever has to be. But in about 7 seconds, he has to be ready to put the helmet back on, because there may be a turnover and he's got to go back on the field. And I can guarantee you that anybody at his level is not going back on the field going, well, hell, I hope I don't throw another interception.
No.
He's telling his receiver, I want you to be right in the middle of that pocket and I will throw you a pinpoint pass because that's what I do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's all that's the way with anything we do in life, right?
I agree completely. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, taking a few minutes to learn from a loss. I mean, there's emotion and logic in all of us, right? So when we lose a deal, especially if it's been one we've been pursuing for some time and we're well invested in the pursuit and you lose, I like to do a loss review with that prospect, with that lost customer. You know, maybe not at that second because it's fresh.
Right.
I might call them up a week later just from a purpose of learning. I want to learn how to make my game a little better. Could I just ask you a few questions? You know,
right.
And it'll be short, less than 5 minutes. You know, what could I have done differently to have you make a different decision more in favor with our proposal? Right. And it's amazing what you can learn. So losing is there not as something to, you know, throw in a black hole. It's an opportunity. It's a staircase for learning.
Right.
Once you process the emotion and can apply some of our logic for ongoing learning, for sure.
That's a great point. And with that point, let's take a full reversal for a minute. Doesn't success, a win, a sale, a yes, doesn't success leave trails? Right. So equally, isn't it important to debrief ourselves? Maybe not as much with the customer, like, hey, so why'd you buy from me, Ian? But, you know, but isn't it important also to debrief ourselves is, what did I do right here?
Yeah.
Because I might like make a good idea to repeat that, right?
Yeah. In my methodology, I've got as part of the blueprint and the method of the process, I call it a win-loss analysis. So more often than not, when we win, the average sales guy person out there will not say, well, you know, it's because of this great team. We had a fabulous solution, well-priced, well-presented. They just say, well, they said, yes, they were dealing with me after all, right? So that's the evidence.
Right.
So we typically fail to, we're too busy celebrating or making those three cold calls before we celebrate to learn what we did right. And an opportunity for debrief on a win, typically there's a collaborative process going on when you're selling. You might have you, the sales manager, maybe some technical support, some product people. So after you've won a deal, there's nothing wrong to circle the wagons there and go, what do you think made us win this deal? Did we buy it just because we had the best price? What was it about our presentation or a proposal that really stood out, do you think, for this customer?
Right.
Because every customer is different.
Exactly.
So you just do this once and it's, you know, set it and forget it. It's a redo every deal because every customer perceives value and has a different business that you're trying to help.
Exactly. Exactly. So one last question. I made a note to myself. I wasn't doing crossword puzzles while I was looking down because that would really bore me. But relationship versus trust. I know there's a lot of conversation out there all the time. Which comes first? Which is more important? What say you on that?
I think there's a connection. There's an overlap. Mm-hmm. But the relationship is the what. That's what we aspire to have, right? And, you know, we need to get good at certain things like psychology. And in my course, I have something called character analysis that helps read personal type. So you can better understand. It gives you a bit of a shortcut in terms of communication with that individual. So to help develop that relationship. Once you've got that development going, once you can establish trust, it becomes an asset. So the pursuit of relationship is the road you're on. That's the car you're in. That's where you're going. That's what you want. But the destination is trust from that new customer, right? And by the way, once you've got trust, I'm sure you know this, Randy, you could have a trusted relationship for life. You could change companies and bring your book of business with you across the street. You could change industries and they'll give you referrals to other people that might help you. So once trust is there and not taken for granted, nurtured and continually, you know, developed ongoing, trust is the vehicle. That trust is the asset.
That exactly.
In real estate, what are the three most important things? Location, location, location. Right. In sales, what are the three most important things? Relationship, relationship, relationship. And right you on. Get them by building trust. And exactly. It's not on them to build it. It's up to us. The right. salesperson has to own that objective of establishing trust. So that means never lie, never mislead, always prove, be full disclosure. Companies know that companies make a profit. A company you're selling to makes a profit as well, or they don't have a company. Right. So you don't have to be shy to be profitable.
Right.
But at the same time, being transparent with what you can do and what you can't do will do you a world of good. Randy, when we had you on my podcast, you referenced this, and I love what you've said. It's happened to me as well. When you've built that trusted relationship with a customer, eventually you become their go-to. So Randy has a thing. If you haven't heard him say this before, it's, I'm going to ask Randy if he can do that. I'm going to ask Randy if he's got that. Right. And if you can't, what do? You refer them to others that can. And that came out of the trusted relationship that you, my friend, have built.
Well, thank you. I think I told you when we were chatting on your podcast, which I want to finish up with talking about in a minute, but that if you can be their trusted advisor, right, or whatever you want to term you want to come up with that means the same thing. One of my favorite calls is, "Hey, Randy, I thought of you first. do you have this or do you know where I can get it? You know why that's so favorite to me? Because that means that I have got to that position with them where, A, if I have it, I want to give this business to you. If you, but if you don't have it, I know you'll steer me in the right direction. It doesn't get any better than that.
That's trust in action. That's like, I trust you, Randy. So if you have it, I will trust your solution that you recommend. I also trust you enough, Randy, that if you don't have it, you would trust someone else,
right,
who would have it, and I can trust their solution. So there's correct, this bond of trust in place that is very mobile. And again, never stop building trust with anyone in the world.
Yes, it's a continuum. I love it. So let's talk about, we talked about the podcast and that you honored me to be on, which was a great time. And I appreciate you letting me, it was a podcast. So I appreciate the fact that you let me have my Dr. Pepper in while we was talking. All my friends know that, Dr. Pepper, that's a bit of a code word, as we've already discussed. It wouldn't be Cabernet, but it might. Anyway, you host a great show, Confessions of a Sales Pro. And I never miss, since I've got to know you. See, there's my bad English today. Since I've gotten to know you, I'm a mid-Michigan hillbilly by background, so what can I say? But I always catch it somewhere, sometimes a day or two later. But tell me how that started, and what will people get when they listen to what I just said and start watching your show or listening to your show? Tell me what this thing's all about.
Sure, Randy. Happy to. I guess it was my pandemic pivot, to put it into a category. People like in my industry who do training, coaching, speaking, when COVID hit, our pipelines evaporated. Right. Everyone had, I got to fly here, got to go there, got to rent a car, got a hotel, speaking to 100 people there, 20 people there. Everything went on hold because no one traveled. No one wanted to get together. We were homebound with masks on. And I was like, I'm bored. I need a hobby.
So right.
I thought, why don't I do a podcast? Yeah, that's a good idea. And so the first dozen episodes or so were just me talking about components of the books that I've written. And I thought, those poor listeners, they must be so sick of hearing my voice by now. I better start to have some guests on this show before everyone just leaves me. And so at first, Randy, it was all about sales and sales leadership, which is kind of the lane that I've been in for all these years. And then the circle, depending on the guest, because my guests give me referrals to other guests. Mm-hmm. So the circles start to get bigger and bigger, and branding, marketing, recruiting, HR, mindset, mental toughness. It's fascinating. So now it's a hobby of mine. Episode 115 comes out for me on this Thursday. I love talking to people like yourself, Randy, like-minded individuals anywhere in the world that could add value to the world of selling somehow. And there's lots of different ways to add value right to that. There truly is. So it's a weekly. It comes out a new episode every Thursday. It's a hobby that keeps me hopping sometimes. I can tell you that. Between making money with some of my clients and doing my podcast, my weeks fill up pretty good. I'm no longer on a three-day week. It can get to four and a half some weeks. That's for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I do so much stuff, and I do all this podcasting, all these other things, because I'm trying to dispel an image as an independent rep, right? So many people think that we work from T to T, right? Tuesday to Thursday. And so I'm trying to
golf course to golf course, T to T.
Right. Exactly. So I'm trying to dispel that by my actions, I guess. But, so watch the show every Thursday. Outstanding.
Mine is audio. So just a tip on that. It's you can subscribe on my website directly. You could listen to it, or you can subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Google. I'm available on all the platforms. Yep. Typically they're 20 to 30 minutes, depending on the guest. And that's by design, so that if you're in the car, you can drive and listen at the same time. Mm-hmm. If you're out on your walk or your run, you could have your ear pods in. You could be listening while you're – so it's multitaskable. That was the design of it from the get-go. But, typically no longer than half an hour.
Yeah, it's very good. So we've been scrolling how to get a hold – find you on LinkedIn across the bottom. Wes will probably – if you pop up your how to get a hold of you on your website again there. Yeah, there you go, salesmentoru.com. And follow my friend, Ian. You will not be disappointed. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's been a pleasure this last, I don't know when we first connected, but, it didn't take long, which is obvious why you're such a good sales pro, is it didn't take literally minutes to feel like a friend. And it's been good stuff.
To you as well, Randy, for sure. Maybe we're your brothers from a different mother. Who knows?
We could. I was adopted at 3 days old, so we don't know. My mom and dad went to the baby store and bought me. I mean, maybe they had me shipped in from Scotland.
Don't I'm from Scotland, Lottie. Hi. God, I knew I liked you.
Well, you know, I researched my heritage as much as I could based on finding my biological parents' last name. And it's got some Scottish history, so maybe we are.
Yeah, there you go.
Wouldn't that be something? Yeah. Well, Ian, any last words? I know there's something I always forget, and my buddy Wes always pops it up there. I'm going to see how quick he is today. Oh, there it is. Look at him. Should ask questions. What did we miss today that you'd like to bring up real quick before we get you out of here?
Well, I mean, the sales career. If someone's considering a sales career, or someone's questioning whether they made that choice, and life is not like this. It's peaks and valleys. It's not a straight line. It's a squiggly line. So sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we're not sure. And those are human emotions. Those are fair and fine to have. But if anyone's considering a sales career or reigniting their existing sales career, don't be kind on yourself. Don't be too structured and too hard on yourself. There's simple basics you can put in place. Have a pipeline. Look at your pipeline every day. Set some simple goals, a personal sales plan for how many new deals do you need in your pipeline every week to succeed with your goals, and review them. One of the best things that a salesperson can have is to find a coach, someone to hold them accountable on those very goals on at least a monthly basis to keep them on track. If they're struggling with something, you can get some instant feedback. And there's lots of sales coaches out there. There's plenty out there in any geography that would be willing to help. So, yeah, stay confident, stay persistent, stay organized, and always keep your promises. That's what
exactly. Exactly. Love it. Ian, it's been beyond a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you, Randy. Pleasure being on, and wonderful to chat with you again.
You as well. We'll talk soon, my friend. Cheers.
You bet. Look forward to it.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks. Ian Selby, bringing the fire. Man, this guy, I can't get enough of him. If you love sales, if you're a student of the game of sales, and I don't care how long you've been doing it. I've been doing it for 4+ decades, and I learn something new every day. And I always learn something new from anything Ian puts out. So follow him, please. You'll love it. Order his book. He's sending me a book. We might even do a book review. I know somebody that does those now and then. But anyway, that's it for today. So, follow us again next week. Follow us on audio. Follow us. You can find us on Spotify and Apple and I don't know where else Wes has got us as well. So don't forget to do that. That always drops every Monday after our video show. Our vlog drops on Friday. So until then, remember this. Love what you're doing and do what you love. I say that all the time, if I can say it. And another thing I like to say is we only hear a short time sometimes, it feels like, right? So you got to live it. You got to love it. You got to own it. And important every day is to do this. Make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.